under the fee. I'll give you a small example from very early in my copywriting career. This is around 1975 or 1976. A company in Minneapolis, National Computer Systems, met me at National Speakers Association, through National Speakers Association, and they thought they needed a brochure. They wound up buying what I call a big box. Brochure, a long letter, two audio tapes, some follow-up pieces that all gets packaged into this huge, elaborate box that gets delivered to a prospect. The copywriting fee went from $5,500 to $16,000. So this is about moving from what they think to what you think. And one great analogy is in cosmetic dentistry or in restorative dentistry or implant dentistry. Often somebody comes into the dentist's office with the idea that they are going to patch something. And they know they got a bad tooth over here, and maybe they know they need a bridge. Now it's the dentist's job to switch them from that kind of thinking to thinking of complete mouth restoration, and often to take them from a $2,000 or $3,000 commitment to a $30,000 or $40,000 commitment. That job is infinitely easier if they perceive him differently than just a dentist from the beginning. And so this all loops together into how you are viewed, how you present yourself, how you position the work, and how you start out with the client.
Wow, this is so illuminating. I hope everyone on the call can see how the strategies just dovetail with each other. They fit together. It's like a total mind shift, and when that shifts, then it sounds like your business itself starts to shift too. When you're working with different strategies and mixing them all together, then the next strategy just comes up naturally, which is expanding the scope of the project. You kind of touched on that before. Can you tell us some more about that, number four?
Yeah, certainly you want the most income you can get from each client, because the most onerous part of this business, it's why there's so many questions about it, is getting a client. And the biggest problem in most businesses, which is why we exist, is getting a customer or a client. So given that, you want to expand the size and complexity and scope of each project, thereby expanding the length of relationship and the amount of money that you get from each client. And this is typically done. There's like 15 ways, but the three ways that happens most often are the number of steps in a marketing campaign, because most people think an ad or a brochure or
right.
a sales letter, where we move them into thinking marketing campaigns, processes, and systems, multiple steps. The second form of expansion is multiple media. Again, they're thinking an ad or a sales letter or a brochure or a website. Often they should have all those things and other things as well. On a call earlier today with a group of 18 people in an industry who are all in one client group of mine, we took them from direct mail to direct mail plus audio plus DVD. And in all probability, they're going to wind up each ponying up, well, there's actually 40 in the group total. They may each pony up $10,000 to $20,000 and spend $500,000 or more on the DVD. Some significant percentage of that $500,000 is headed my way. And then the third way is generic to niche or niche to generic. And by that I mean often somebody's going to come to you and they will be selling their product or service to one market, either the big, broad, mainstream market of everybody, in which case you can slice and dice it, and it becomes fast weight loss for nurses, and fast weight loss for flight attendants, and fast weight loss for truck drivers, multiplying the number of campaigns. Or they'll be operating in one niche and have a product that actually could go mainstream. And so you expand by markets. Again, I'll give you a couple of examples. There's a company just acquired as a new client about a month ago, Safety Technology, and they sell safety products, everything from security systems to taser guns, sales letter and a follow-up sequence. I immediately identified that they're selling to two types of buyers. They're selling to professionals, burglar alarm companies and dealers, security companies, private eyes, and spy shops, and they're also selling to like flea market dealers and swap meet dealers, what I would call opportunity seekers, and they're sending the same material to both of these markets, even though their interests are vastly different.
Right.
So that begets two campaigns, not one. So two sets of ads, two sets of sales letters, two different audio tapes, two different websites. Two different teleseminar scripts. And so it immediately doubles the scope of that project.
And you do these at the same time?
Yeah.
You were mentioning weight loss for flight attendants and veterinarians and all these people. Would you do those as well, all at the same time?
If you can, you do them all. If you can and they'll let you, you do them all at the same time because there's speed to be had by doing it that way.
Okay.
But you can wind up, the other alternative is sequential, in which case you live with the client for, like, years. And that's okay, too, under certain circumstances.
Right.
And so any of these three ways or all of them together, some years ago I was brought in by international correspondence schools. And, again, what they thought they needed was a simple, and they even, this is your client prescribing. I mean, this conversation was, we send out this direct mail piece to everybody who answers our TV commercials. ICS is now owned by McGraw-Hill, but you may remember International Correspondence Schools.
Oh, yeah.
Sally Struthers before, when she was just fat, not huge, just fat.
You're right.
On the commercials. And so ICS brought me in. They saw me speak at the National Infomercial Marketing Association and chased me down and had me consult on television. But then, as I'm redefining my role, so they thought, here's a TV guy who knows what he's doing. By the time I get done with them, they realize, here's a marketing guy who knows what he's doing. So the next conversation is, here's a direct mail package that we send out, and we think everything in it works pretty good except the letter. And so we need a new four-page letter to go into this package. Now, if you buy that prescription, if you let that be the way the deal works,
right,
you're going to get paid to write a four-page letter.
Right.
And quite frankly, you can only get so much
right.
to write a four-page letter. But both from their standpoint and mine, that's not what they needed. And amongst other things, they needed a book. And so that project went to a 16-page letter, it went to an audio CD script, and it went to a 300-page paperback book that was ghostwritten for them. So this is the strategy of expanding the scope.
Right. Well, it's important to recognize that you're turning what might have been just a one-off, like a four-page sales letter, into something that goes on over months and months. And that's kind of a new concept for a lot of us copywriters. So why is it important?
Well, again, the main reason it's important is because, presuming you're a good copywriter, what you will tend to be bad at and what you'll like the least is the process of getting clients. And typically what will happen is you won't pipeline, and so you'll work and then you'll be done with what you called the one-off, and whoops, there won't be any more work, and now you'll go look for it. And so if you want stability, I have a client who uses the phrase roller coaster income. If you don't want roller coaster income,
right,
then this has to become about more work from each client. And it goes all the way back to what we're going to talk about on the second call, of selection of clients, by the way.
Right.
But, you know, if the most onerous thing to do is to get a client, then you want to focus on getting clients and handling them in such a way that you get to live with them for a long period of time, and they represent a continuing income source. Currently, my average contract takes 3 to 4 months to fulfill. And so from the time it's inked to the time they have everything on an agreed-upon timeline, is usually 3 to 4 months. And my average contract now averages between $50,000 and $75,000. And I'll do 10, 20, 30 such projects in a year. And then there's a few that are huge. And some of them extend even over a year. And so this is really about getting into their businesses so that you get more money from fewer clients. You need fewer clients. You don't need to chase them. You can wind up very quickly with them standing in line for you. And it really is also about breeding client dependence by the way you define the role. Some people may remember, I know you will, although the other day I used it and saw a bunch of blank faces, but we'll remember EST.
Oh, yeah.
The big human potential movement.
Yeah.
That was made fun of in movies because Werner Erhard tend to lock people in the room and not let them go to the bathroom.
Yes, that's the worst thing you could do to me, is like not let me go to the bathroom.
In fact, it was made fun of in the movie Semi-Tough with Burt Reynolds and Chris Christopherson when he went in with a tin can and a tube.
Dan, I'm going to have to call back in on the other line. This is technology faux pas.
Oh, are we losing you?
We're losing me for 1 second.
Okay, but am I losing everybody else?
No.
I'll just keep going.
Keep going.
Here. Okay, so hopefully I got everybody else. So anyway, EST was the largest human potential movement seminar company of its kind, and I was getting my hair cut in a hair salon in San Francisco, and I was next to Werner Erhard, and had never met him, but introduced myself. And so we had a little conversation.
I'm back.
And I asked Werner, I said, what... if you sum up EST in its essence, what is it? What do you do? And he said, we preach independence and we breed dependence. Now, you can chalk that up as cynical, and that's a whole philosophical discussion. But that's really what it's about in client management, is it is about breeding dependence so that... they are going to be coming to you again and again and again, and they are open to this expansion of assignment, expansion of project.
But, and you don't have to keep building trust because it's there. You know each other and how you work, right?
Well, there's again, it starts from the beginning. You know, trust is a subjective thing, and it is not all about results. It is as much about positioning, and actually, again, when you are in front of diagnosis and prescription, it is far easier to exercise control and to be looked upon as a trusted advisor than when you are behind diagnosis and prescription and you are being told write this 4-page letter and don't exceed 4 pages. And make sure the paragraphs are indented. Again, it's the doctor-pharmacist example. And so if the pharmacist tells you, you know, you might have poo-poo fungus, and you ought to get in and get a test, you might take that seriously and you might not. But if your cardiac surgeon says, you know, you might have poo-poo fungus, and I think you should get in and take a test, you're saying where, not when, not how much is the test, not can I put it off till after my vacation. So all of these four strategies that we've talked about are very, very important in terms of client control.
Right. Well, then the next strategy is again, it all dovetails. It just works. It's like a puzzle. It's about expanding the scope of the relationship. So how do we get there?
Well, the relationship is extremely important because what most copywriters do is they engage in transactions. And the worst kind of income in the world is transactional. That's where customer dictates to seller. So a transaction is you decide, a lot of people on the call have probably been to a chiropractor. And so the chiropractor who has the weakest practice is a transactional practice. You go in when whenever you feel like you've got a crick in your neck or back pain and you get an adjustment and the chiropractor fits you in. And there are a lot of starving chiropractors who let a lot of their patients get away with this. At the other end of the spectrum is the chiropractor who will not take a patient on that basis. They'll throw you out of the office. They'll hand you the yellow pages to go someplace else. And they put you into a treatment program that requires you to be in a relationship for a certain period of time and be there a certain number of times each week, etc. So the worst income is transactional, and the worst relationship is one-dimensional.
That's so funny. I'm sorry. I was just thinking for myself, I do the same thing with a chiropractor. I go in if I'm hurting. But if I were forced to go on a regular basis, I would probably not get to the pain.
Of course. No. It would be better for you. I can tell you from that profession, because I've had 3,000 of them.
Yeah, I guess you were.
Training programs. The patient is far better off in a relationship where the doctor insists upon compliance. And the doctor is far better off from a financial standpoint as well. And again, he needs fewer patients and all of the things that we've been talking about.
Right.
And then the worst relationship is one-dimensional, where you are viewed as doing and called upon to do one thing. Okay, we're going to call Mary when we need an ad. And we only need an ad once or twice a year. And so Mary's going to get called upon to write an ad once or twice a year. It's a terrible business. And so what you want to do is put copywriting into context of a relationship. And that means consulting, certainly. And it may mean additional things. The list is training, coaching, strategy work, providing and managing vendors, and even deal making, matching one client with another. So one quick example. I got hired yesterday after a lunch meeting with a referral to come in for 2 days to a fairly large company, take their top marketing team, and day one do training in essentially direct marketing, information marketing 101, and then day two work on strategy that will lead out the back end, incidentally, to copywriting assignments. The fee for the 2 days is $50,000. Now, to be fair, 10 years ago, I did exactly the same thing, and the fee was $5,000. So, you know, the dollar changes, but the concept is the same. And as a result of being with them for 2 days and setting the framework by which everything is going to work as an authority figure, the relationship will be different from there on out. And so the goal here in expanding the relationship is continuing work. I think of it, you remember the old Roach Motel commercial, you know, it's easy to get in, but you can't get out. And that's the way it's supposed to be in a relationship with me. And consequently, you know, I have clients that continue to have me do work for them almost on a continuous basis. As one thing ends, we're beginning the next for 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 years. And that's exactly what you want. There are 5 main kinds of continuing work that you can do with clients. And so let me go through those with everybody
get your pens out.
Quick as I can. One is periodic or reoccurring. And so that's unfortunately close to transactional. That's like a client who maybe has a seasonal business, a client that exhibits at a couple of trade shows at a particular time of year, and that's when they crank up their marketing machine and they do direct mail and they do ads and they do handouts for the show. You expect that to happen, and you're involved with that on a reoccurring and periodic basis. Climbing up the ladder, the second is sequential. That's where one project births the next. And the most important question for you to be answering for your client is what's next. And they actually want you to answer that if you do a good job of breeding dependence. And so, again, my aim mostly has one thing is coming to a conclusion. We're beginning the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. A third type of continuing work is truly continuous. And for the people on the call who are relative beginners, this is the way to get yourself a couple of milk cow accounts that pay by the month and pay the same amount of money every month so that you can pay the light bill and have some little sense of security to your business. And so this is the promotion of the month type of approach, where you're doing the monthly newsletter, you're doing the weekly email tips, you're creating the ad of the week that appears in the newspaper, and it's all on a continuous program, and you literally have blocked out X number of hours a week or X number of hours a month. And early in my copywriting work, I always had two or three of those accounts, so that you knew you were going to pay the rent no matter what. And on a high level now, not for a beginner, but on a high level, the continuous account is also extremely desirable. And that's the account where instead of a sequential flow of things, one thing and then we're going to do another and then we're going to do another and then we're going to do another, there are some things that are just continuous projects. And so I have a couple of clients who do, say, two major seminars a year, and the marketing campaigns are in a total of 4, 5, 6 months long. And so I'm continuously working on their seminar marketing. It's a year-round, 12-month program, and the base fee is equalized. So the same amount of money is arriving each month.
That goes in your contract when you work with them? You figure out what the monthly retainer sort
yes.
of is going to be?
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
Fourth is new markets and new opportunities. And the way to have continuing work with clients, and again, it connects to how you find this kind of client, which we'll talk about next week, but or whenever the next call is.
Right.
But if you are continually unearthing new opportunities in the client's business, you need never leave. And again, since most clients are very focused on one, two, or three ways to sell what they sell, only one, two, or three markets, very limited back end, you can often go into a company and be continually revealing to them an opportunity they didn't know they had that requires your work. And you can live there for a long, long, long time. And that's how you grow with a client. My two biggest of this kind over a 10-year period, one went from about a $4 million company to a $300 million company. The other more modest, but from a $1 million-a-year small business to a $20 million-a-year business. And so you keep uncovering these things that you don't necessarily point out to them all at once. I mean, I have a saying that says, my vision sees farther than theirs.
Right.
And so it's about what's next. And then five is new products or services. And again, you create work for yourself by helping a client see that they should also be selling X. They should also be providing Y. In my work with Guppy Ranker, the infomercial company, Proactive, which is the biggest part of their business today, I pushed them into the acne business. As a result of what I learned doing work in an entirely unrelated situation with a different client, and I created a lot of work for myself by pushing themselves into that business. So those are the five ways that you can create continuing work.
Do you have this set up on a chart somewhere, or you're just it's second nature to you?
Yeah, it's now in my head, and I'm not the most organized guy in the planet in that respect, so it never really was in a chart. But it sort of is. you're constantly processing what you're learning about their business and their industry through this filter.
Got it. Well, all this really just kind of lays the groundwork for what we all want to know, or at least I know I do, and that's money. We want to know about the mistakes that we make in setting fees, because I know you can help us with that. So what are strategy number, actually, this is six, sufficient compensation. What's good enough for us?
Well, the first thing to know about all of that is, of course, that you ought to get as much as you can.
Yeah.
and so let's kind of look at the way people get paid. There is billable hours, hourly, daily, weekly, monthly. And awful lot of copywriters, as well as a lot of consultants, price themselves that way. Almost everybody starts that way.
Yeah, I think so.
I did very briefly, not knowing any better. But your first goal in life really is to begin transcending the billable hours trap. And some copywriters also bill per page. And years ago, that was the norm in this industry. It was for fiction, too, by the way. I can never pronounce his name right, but Louis L'Amour, the Western writer.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Who ground out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of paperback Westerns. Everybody in every one of his books always dies from the sixth bullet. And he was once asked about that, and he said, it's because I got paid by the word. So, you know, some people literally get paid by the page. You take a big step up when you switch from those formulas to pay by project. And so all of my work is couched in terms of defined projects that have multiple pieces. So it is about the sum total of everything, not how much time. Now, I figure my fees out based on time, and I'll come back and talk about that, but they don't know it, and it's not what they're buying. And it's important that that's not what they're buying. They're buying this agreed-upon project. And then there are also access fees and retainers. And so we mentioned, like, the monthly retainer. I now have a private client group starting in 06 where they're paying $17,000 fee to be in the group, and essentially all that does is give them the right to hire me. Then we get to royalties. And you see four basic things going on in the world of copywriting. You see usage. And so you see copywriters, those who do a lot of direct mail, for example, you'll see them getting paid per piece mailed. A half a penny, a penny, a penny and a half. And when they have large volume accounts, that's a big issue. And so if you beat a control, for example, and you have a winner, like my work with Weight Watchers, my beat the control piece would have, were it not for corporate disruption, would have mailed 5 to 10 million pieces in a calendar year. And even a penny a piece amounts to something. Sometimes it's usage per insertion. So like a radio commercial or a print ad, there's a fee and then there's another $50 or $100 every time that it runs anywhere. A second kind of royalty money is per result. Now that's like dollars per lead or a dime for every coupon that's redeemed. And in some industries where they can't fee split, like financial services, then you have to get paid by the lead or you have to get paid by the event, if you will, the number of people who attend the seminar as opposed to the actual revenues. The third type of royalty is percentage of gross sales, and the fourth type of royalty is percentage above base. That's where a simple example would be clients already doing 12 direct mail pieces a year, and last year they did $1 million. So $1 million is now their base. They pay no royalty on